outside. And all them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a tyke and shall see, open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Sunday, January the 10th, 2021. You are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you're all doing well. Those of you of goodwill, those of you who are not of goodwill and who either contribute or have contributed in some way, major or minor, to the very serious problems that the world is dealing with right now. I hope that all of the evil you've done, all of the evil that you plan to do, goes up in smoke and flames. Anyway, folks, we are here again today, and as promised, we are going to try to maintain a two-day-a-week program schedule, especially with events moving as quickly and as dramatically as they are. However, as I have pointed out, folks, there's no telling how long we're going to be able to continue doing this. Obviously, the situation is extremely unstable and unpredictable, and all can rest assured that if things do proceed along the same trajectory on which they happen to be traveling right now, that we will see blackouts of everything, of the internet, of all forms of communication and information. The first sign that this is what is headed our way is the fact that they have basically closed out all of the president's social media outlets, Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, and all of the rest of that. You don't do that to the most powerful man in the world when you're just some computer geek like Zuckerberg or any of these other people. Unless you are getting orders from very powerful people above you. And I think that that's a pretty good indication of where things are headed. So, as I said, I don't know how long we will be able to continue doing this. In fact, I had a conversation with a friend of mine last night, and he only lives about, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 miles away. And we were talking about, as I just said, the trajectory that events are on right now. And as we were signing off our conversation on the phone, he said, well, it's somewhere between possible and probable that we won't even see each other again. You know, even though we only live, you know, as I said, maybe 40 miles away from each other. And he said, so that being the case, I want you to know it's been nice knowing you. Anyway, we'll see. But as of right now, things are looking pretty PDB, pretty darn bad. And of course, this is what is going to be the topics of today's program. Very quickly, just a few administrative notes here, folks. As I said when I began the program again, restarted the program, we need help in order to keep this going. It's no longer a free service as the old blog was. And it costs money every time I post a program. So if you are in the position to help us out with the costs associated with doing this program, then you can email me at theuglytruthradioprogram@gmail.com. That's all one word, ugly truth, theuglytruthradioprogram@gmail.com. And I will send you a link. Since I can't put it on the front of the website, we know what the anti-free speechers will do. If I do that, well, they'll do what they've done in the past, which is to have the account closed and all of the money seized. And this is how they operate, folks. You know, they know how to fight a war. And to them, they live by the sword, and they believe in that old notion that all's fair. So anyway, let's get today's discussion started, folks. Now, please bear with me if it appears that I'm, you know, that this is kind of a scripted thing. I've begun writing things down. I never did this before on previous, you know, during previous times when I would do my program, because everything was just so much right there, you know, as far as my thoughts were concerned. And the thoughts were, they were fewer in number and they were smaller in size, I would say. And I think that because that added to my younger years, made it easier for me to just, you know, pull these things out and throw them out there for discussion, you know, without too much trouble. Now I'm having a little bit of difficulty in that regard, because obviously the situation is much more serious, much more dire, much more fast-paced. And as I've said before, I'm not the young whippersnapper that I was when I began doing this 15 or so years ago. So if it appears that I am reading from a script, to a certain degree, I am. Okay, so the first thing that I want to start off saying, and I had meant to bring this up on the last program, and I didn't. I didn't remember that until after I was done editing the program and putting it back up. Actually, the first thing that I want to focus on here before that other thing is the thing that I also forgot to mention on last week's program, which is the introduction to the soundbite functions as the introduction to the program, which is this soundbite from this insane Hebrew named Douglas Rushkoff. And he's speaking at some gathering, you know, I guess where he's giving a speech or something like that. And he lays it all out, folks. He lays it all out. He says, in fact, I'm not even going to try to pull it up from memory. I'm going to pull it up on my computer, because I saved it as a text file. And he says, the thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation states. We don't believe in the idea of individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. He says, in a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real. Well, the reason I bring this up is because I promised on previous programs that we would try, as much as memory cooperated, to discuss this on every program, because it is the spark plug that is driving the engine of destruction of our world right now, folks. This one little paragraph here by this one individual, okay, with all of the talk, all of the chatter, all of the noise, fast-paced noise, everything else that's going on right now, unfortunately, this is the one thing that is not being discussed, and it's the one thing that, just like any engine, you know, you want to stop it dead in its tracks, you just pull the spark plug wire off of the spark plug. And that's it. It stops. And in this case, you know, the spark plug that is driving all of this business that we're dealing with right now, dealing with a pandemic, with a stolen election, and now what is more than likely going to be another impeachment and the attempted coup of a president through the process of a stolen election. And you know, very possibly civil war, very possibly war with China. Okay, and all of the discussion that's taking place out there, the one thing that is not being discussed is this one paragraph here that I just read to you. And it is the spark plug driving everything. Now let's just take this line by line. Our insane writer here, Douglas Rushkoff, right there, it says everything that we need to know within the very first sentence. The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. Now, the way that we should read that, folks, we should put, you know, we should bracket within there. We Jews smash things that, quote, we believe are not true. Okay? Now, right there tells us two things from our Jewish writer, Douglas Rushkoff. Number one, the Judaism is dangerous. Okay? And it's dangerous to everybody. Okay? To all nations, to all peoples. And that they destroy things that they don't agree with. Okay? They are not, by virtue of the Judaism, the dangerous Judaism, which they follow, they are not a live and let live people. They are not a people who say, okay, let's just agree to disagree. Okay? They don't, that's not how they roll. Okay? By virtue of their Judaism, what they do is that they are on an eternal, perpetual, ceaseless, incessant seek and destroy mission against, as he says, all nations, all peoples, and all ideas, all races, a perpetual seek and destroy mission against all those peoples who believe in things which they don't believe in. Okay. Now, this would be fine if they were just some kooky little group of people living up in the mountains of, I don't know, wherever, off to themselves, you know, that they say, we live in a state of divorce with the world because the world doesn't agree with our views on things, but that's not what they are. Despite the ridiculous public relations campaign that is run by groups such as the ADL and others, these people are just enormously powerful. They don't just have a little bit of influence over the mainstream media in America and throughout the West. They own it, whole hog, lock, stock, and barrel. Okay? They don't just hold a small interest, you know, reflecting their 1% or less ratio to the rest of the population in our financial system, okay? They own our banking system. They own our money. If you don't think that they don't, if you think they don't own our money, take a look at the back of the dollar bill and look at what the symbol is sitting atop the eagle, which is the symbol of the United States. Okay, they made sure to put that that little collection of stars there. Could have been anything. It could have been a cross, right, since the founding fathers of the United States were Christians. But instead, they made sure to arrange those stars in such a way that it formed the six-pointed star, which is their identity. Okay, so they are dangerous to all people. They don't live and let live. They don't believe in tolerance. They believe in destroying things. They believe in tearing things down. And again, this is one of the reasons that we find ourselves in the very serious problems that we're in right now, folks, is because, unfortunately, the corrosive nature of Judaism has been baked into the cake of Western civilization as a result of Christianity's fateful decision to include the Book of the Jews, meaning the Old Testament, and to try and somehow come up with some weird, some weird combination between that and the teachings and the person of Jesus Christ, which the two couldn't be more diametrically opposed to each other. And unfortunately, we have organized and institutionalized Christian churches that have carried this forward. Okay, this virus, this cancer cell that has been born into the minds of billions of people now, and now it's too late. Now it's too late to do anything about it because it's so baked in. There was one attempt about 800 years after the fall of Jerusalem on the part of a Christian bishop named Marcion. You know, he was the one person who looked at this thing rationally and said, you know, we have nothing in common. We as Christians, we as followers of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, have nothing in common with the God of the Jews. The God of the Jews is a bloodthirsty, vindictive, violent, very petty, very small-minded God. And this is not the message that Jesus Christ brought to the world. And unfortunately, folks, for us, because this is one of these what-if moments, you know, we talk about this quite a bit now on the program, what if, you know, unfortunately, the Catholic Church decided to silence Marcion and his concerns about this, which I would say from an intellectual viewpoint, he was absolutely right. There's nothing that can be compared to the God that Jesus Christ talked about when he talked about my Father versus Yahweh, the God of the Jews. And in one of those big what-if moments, you know, what if the Catholic Church at that time had taken a more rational approach to this and said, you know what, at the end of the day, he's right, okay? His argument makes sense. And they didn't do this. Why, I have not yet figured out, but nevertheless, we can see today the end result product of that, is that now this monster, and this is one of the things I jotted down here to make sure and to mention, it's become, you know, the Little Shop of Horrors. Now, those of you who don't know what that is, it started off as a Broadway musical, and they made a movie of it, oh gosh, 35 years ago or something like that. Very funny movie. And the storyline is it takes place in this plant shop, you know, where you can go and buy, you know, little plants and things like that. And the I don't know if it's the plant, I don't think it's the owner, I think it's the guy who runs it. He comes across this really unusual little Venus flytrap. And while he was dealing with some roses, you know, roses have thorns on them, and I guess he pricked his finger and blood began to draw, and this little plant said, "Feed me." It's really, anyway, so he sticks his finger, this bloody finger, into this plant's mouth, and then the plants throughout the program starts to grow, getting bigger and bigger, but it only wants human blood. Okay, that's the only thing it wants. By the end of the movie, the plant has become this, literally this monster, okay, that is, and what has happened is that our plant store manager, he's getting a lot of business because this plant is so unusual and people are driving from all over the world to come and see this thing, and then, you know, he's making money off of it. But in order to keep the plant happy, and to keep business going, he has to keep feeding this thing. And he's killing people and feeding their body remains to this plant. And so at the end of it, it's just become this uncontrollable monster when it started off as this tiny little thing. Okay, that's where we are right now, folks. We're dealing with a monster now that is basically uncontrollable. And, you know, it's one of those what-if things. What if saner, cooler heads had prevailed centuries ago, and they had just used the brains that God had given them and said, you know what? There's something wrong with these people. There's something wrong with the ideology that drives them. And we really, maybe this is what Jesus meant when he said, no man can serve two masters. And maybe this is what Jesus meant when he warned us that, you know, that these people and their religious leaders, that they were children of their father, the devil. And when he said, you know, beware of those who, he said, judge them by their fruit, you know, because a bad tree will not produce good fruit and a good fruit will not produce bad fruit. But they didn't do that, folks. And now, literally, we here on January the 10th, 2021, we are witnessing a political and economic and probably military storm that would not be taking place if better decisions had been made a long time ago. Anyway, on that note, folks, the other thing that I meant to mention on last week's program, you know, I get a lot of emails from people who are really hopeful that Trump is going to march the troops into Washington, D.C., and there's going to be this counterinsurgency, there's going to be this Take Back America thing, and you know what? I hope that happens too, folks, but again, I'm going to inject a little bit of reality here, a little bit of the ugly truth into this situation, okay? And those of you who are supporters of the president, which includes me, I support him, I support what he's doing. At the same time, we have to remember a few uncomfortable truths here, okay? The first is that he may fail. Yes, he is smart, he's tough, he does think in a five-dimensional way, he's always 10 steps ahead of them, okay? But he may fail. We have to remember a few things here. The same group of people who are behind all of this upheaval and who are out to destroy him and his presidency are the very same people who assassinated John F. Kennedy, and they got away with it. These are the same people. The same people out to destroy him are the ones who assassinated John F. Kennedy's brother, Robert Kennedy, and they got away with it. Dittos with John F. Kennedy's son, who had political aspirations. They assassinated him, and they got away with it. They attacked the USS Liberty for 2 hours, killed 34 of our sailors, wounded 200 others in what was an obvious act of war, an attempt at getting World War III started between the United States and the Soviet Union, and they got away with it. These are the people who pulled off Oklahoma City, killed 168 people, and they got away with it. They pulled off 9/11. 3,000 Americans were killed. And then the anthrax attacks that followed a few weeks afterwards, and they got away with it. Okay? So, yes, Trump is, you know, he is cut from a slightly different cloth than his predecessors. He's smarter, he's tougher. But we have to keep in mind, folks, that the possibility exists that they may get away with this. They may get away with it. They loosed this virus and collapsed the economy. And up to this point, at least, they have gotten away with it. So I only say this to temper whatever optimism may be out there with regards to Trump getting on top of this situation. We are dealing with something here that isn't just going to go on for days or weeks or months. It could go on for years. It could go on for decades. Okay. Now, on that note, I'm going to talk about what I, you know, between, you know, the events of the last time we were together and today, and how this is going to, how it may bear out. Well, tomorrow morning, the House of Representatives is going to vote on new articles of impeachment against the president. Now, the chances of them getting a conviction in the Senate are, we would think that they're not very high, but what we have witnessed in the last week or so, since the events involving the storming of the Capitol, have shown just how weak and how traitorous, how treasonous many of these Republicans are. And so we don't know. This is what I mean. You know, there are 1,000 different possibilities that can come out of all of the parameters that are lying in front of us right now, folks. 1,000 different question marks, and every one of them is bad, okay? And even if they didn't get a conviction in the Senate, okay, it is still, we still have to look at what it is that they're driving towards. And I think what it really is just as we discussed on the last program, they want to see Trump's authority removed from him, his authority as commander-in-chief, because they fear what he's going to do in the last days. And they want to make sure that he doesn't come back. And I think really the important thing to keep in mind about this is that they know. They know that he is planning something big. He doesn't just have an ace up his sleeve. He has an entire deck of aces up his sleeve. And at this point, what I am envisioning, folks, it's not a prediction. It's just I throw it out there as one possible scenario. You know, Nancy Pelosi, just the other day, she contacted the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, and she said, we need to get the nuclear codes away from this madman. He's unhinged and he's dangerous. And, of course, the nuclear codes are those, it's the ability of the president to launch nuclear weapons. Well, she's not worried about that, folks. This is the reason why organized Jewish interests, or as a good friend of mine wrote in an email to me earlier this week, which I plan to utilize over and over, the organized forces of anti-Gentilism, that really is, I think, the best way to sum up the danger that these people pose to us is that they are the organized forces of anti-Gentilism. This is the reason why they are out to get rid of Trump, why they have been steadfastly and fanatically opposed to him since he was just candidate Trump, is because of his stated intention to end the wars. That's what it is, folks. The same neocon gang who pulled off 9/11 and who went to work chewing away at the American mind and injecting into the American consciousness at that time. What was the coronavirus at that time, which was the war fever? Got to go kill them on their streets before they come and kill us on ours, okay? So the very same group of people, same cast of character, Bill Kristol, the Kagan brothers, Jennifer Rubin, David Froom, Max Boot, same group, folks, the very same group. These are the ones who principally have been acting as Israel's hired guns, Israel spies, in undermining Donald J. Trump and what he plans to do with regards to the Middle East. And this is really what I find so distressing, folks, so distressing, so in many ways depressing, okay, is that, you know, in the aftermath of 9/11, there was this awareness, okay, that came out on the part of, and I'm just going to go ahead and, folks, my New Year's resolution, not to say the word movement anymore, it's out the door, okay, because we have to talk about this. It's you know, if we're going to talk about the deep state and if we're going to talk about the danger that Judaism poses to everybody, as Douglas Rushkoff very dramatically said, everybody, we have to include within that this cast of characters, some of them clowns, some of them kooks, that refer to themselves as the Truth Movement or the 9/11 Truth Movement or whatever, because they have done so much damage, as I have pointed out on previous programs. You know, Alex Jones, the best example of this, as we look back on this from an historical perspective, you know, what if Alex Jones had not gone down the road to Crazyville and started saying a bunch of crazy things that were only going to use, that would only be used as fuel in discrediting all substantive, responsible, and intelligent discussion and reporting and investigation on the role of Israel into 9/11 and other things. What if he had stayed on the straight and narrow and had not gone down the road to Crazyville? How much further along would we be in getting this rope off of our neck? I can promise you folks that the president wouldn't find himself nearly as besieged as he is today if this completely unavoidable disaster had not taken place. So that the business of not talking about the movement is out the window. We can no more not talk about that than we could to not talk about Judaism itself, because it is now part of, it has now been absorbed into the beast. It is now part of the deep state. Granted, it doesn't, you know, as far as its reach and its influence goes, it doesn't have much. But then again, especially times like now, folks, where people are scared and they're angry, and their minds have opened up, okay? They have knocked down a lot of the barriers that were there and normally would be there for alternative explanations to things, because their lives have been thrown into so much upheaval. And you know what? The person who, a month ago wasn't particularly interested in having a discussion about the role that the forces of organized anti-Gentilism are playing in this, today they're not quite as opposed to having that conversation. A few months before the election, I had a conversation with somebody over the phone. And, they have heard what I've had to say over the years, and they've more or less kept their distance from it. But in this conversation we were having, they said, "Oh, I can't wait until this election is over and everything goes back to normal." And I said, "That's not what's going to happen." And they said, "Oh, yes, it will." And I said, "No, it's not." I said, first of all, there's not going to be a finished election. We're not going to know who won. And he said, "How do you know?" I said, "Because they've been talking about it on the news for the last 6 months. That's how you know. That's the tell. Whenever you want to know what they're planning to do, simply read what it is they are talking about." And I said, "Not only is the election going to be unsighted, unresolved, and undecided." I said, "Within 2 months of that event, election in November, you're going to see tanks and troops on the streets of America." And I said, now, and here's one of the other points that I wanted to make about all this today, folks. I said to him, he just wasn't going along with it. I said, "You can either figure it out now or you can figure it out later." I said, "But eventually, circumstances that are beyond your control are going to unfold in front of your eyes, and you're going to be forced to figure it out. And you're going to come to this point where you're going to say, 'Oh my God, he was right. How did he figure that out?'" Well, folks, there, it doesn't require any kind of sixth sense to figure this out. Evil is what evil is, and evil does what evil does. And just like the forces of gravity, it doesn't take a lot of psychic ability to figure out what happens when you have an object in your hand and you let it go. It's going to fall. So, Pelosi talking to Mark Milley, saying, "We got to get the nuclear codes out of this guy's crazy," and all of the rest of this. What they're worried about, folks, they're not worried about him launching a nuclear war, because, as I said, this is the reason for trying to get rid of him, is because he won't launch a nuclear war. The nuclear war, which Judaism demands take place. That's the reason why. So what is it about him going nuclear that has got them that has got their panties in such a knot. Okay, him going nuclear, I think, will be precipitated by him doing a document dump. You know, President Trump has discussed ever since he was a candidate, he has dangled the threat in front of the deep state and in front of the organized forces of anti-Gentilism that he may release the classified files related to John F. Kennedy. He may just release the classified files related to 9/11 and some of these other things, okay? That's what they're worried about, because since they have shut down his ability to communicate with his base of support by taking away his social media accounts, whatever, they're terrified of what he's going to say. And if he says, if he uses his authority, since the federal government owns all of the airwaves, okay, that, you know, these TV stations, the media, the deep state, they only operate in the fashion that they do because they, I don't know if they lease the airwaves or whatever, but the federal government owns them. And anytime the federal government says, you're going to hand over the airwaves so that we can broadcast something to the nation, they're legally required to do that. So since they have shut down his ability to communicate with his base of support and with the American people through his social media accounts, what I envision him doing is that he is going to have a special announcement to the nation, and he'll make sure to get everybody's attention by leaking the information, leaking out the false information that he plans to resign on television. At which point, everybody is going to be listening. Of course, all of the television and radio stations are going to be willing. You know, they're not going to complain one bit. Oh, sure, Mr. President, absolutely, yes, we'll give you the airwaves, you know, so that we can hear you resigning. At which point, it is entirely possible, folks, that he's just going to let it all hang out. He's going to go nuclear, okay? He's going to talk about who killed JFK. We know who that was, folks. The forces of organized anti-Gentilism. The killing of RFK, dittos. The killing of John F. Kennedy Jr., dittos. Oh, the USS Liberty. You didn't know about that, ladies and gentlemen, my fellow Americans. Yes, that really did happen, and it was deliberate. And here are the transcripts of the radio communications taking place between the headquarters in Tel Aviv and the pilots that were ordered to attack that ship. They knew it was an American ship. It was an act of war. The 9/11. Oh, by the way, my fellow Americans, I made a mistake 5 years ago on the campaign trail when I talked about the dancing Muslims in New Jersey. They were dancing Israelis, and they turned out to be Mossad agents. And they said later, after they had been quietly sent back to Israel by George H.W. Bush's Justice Department, that they had been sent by the Israeli government to document the event. Now, if Trump goes forward with this, President Trump, I'm sorry, because I think it's extremely disrespectful to refer to him simply as Trump, as President Trump, if he decides to go forward with this, going nuclear with an information release of this type, the left will be smashed. Even, you know, those who voted for Biden, they are going to be left utterly defenseless. They will have no argument. They'll have no leg to stand on. At which point, Trump's base of support in the nation is going to increase exponentially. There will be a lot of defections, folks. a lot of defections from the Democrat side, and I'm not talking necessarily, you know, at the political level like in Congress. I'm talking about the average idiot in America who voted for Joe Biden, okay? You will see a lot of defections. At the very least, even if they don't go over to Trump's side, you're not going to hear them complaining about him anymore, okay? They will realize that they have shown up at a gunfight, not with a knife, but with a squirt gun, okay? At which point, Trump is going to have massive popular support to do what he needs to do, which is to march the troops into Congress and arrest possibly half of them. And in fact, folks, I think that we could see this as early as tomorrow morning when Congress is assembling to vote on new articles of impeachment against him. So that, I think, it's at least a possibility of what we may be facing here. And literally, folks, it could, you know, I think that all of the necessary legal documentation was signed a long time ago, a long time ago. And it's just been sitting in the president's top drawer, waiting for him to just take it out, hand it to the appropriate people, and to say, pull the trigger. You know, of all the possibilities that are out there, and there are 1,000 different possibilities, the one thing that is not possible in all of this, as far as I'm concerned, is the notion that the president is going to do nothing. Not only does he have the best interests of the nation at heart, he also knows that his children and his grandchildren, just as it was with the Kennedys, that they will live the rest of their lives with a death sentence hanging over them, that the Jews will never, ever let up on their drive to destroy his family. And for that reason alone, he would be willing to do whatever heavy-handed things, whatever options were available to him as president in order to protect them. Now, as we touched on last week's program, folks, as much as all of us witnessing what could very well, and indeed I would say is very likely going to take place, at the same time, that as much as we would enjoy all of that, we also have to think about the secondary things that are likely to come from that. And in that regard, I would encourage you strongly to go to the website and to read a few of the articles that I posted just today. Okay, and I'm not going to read the articles. I'm just going to read the titles of them and then just a few, what I consider to be a few important nuanced points. Okay, the first one is entitled, "The Talmud Won't Pardon Donald Trump." And again, folks, this isn't an article that I wrote or that David Duke wrote or anything like that. This is appearing on the, I think it's the Times of Israel. I'm waiting for the, come on, where's my internet? Hold on. It's hard to do things the way, those of you who have followed all the work I've done over the years, knowing how we live off-grid and we have to run generators and all of the rest of that stuff, you know, it's, okay. You know, we definitely don't lead a normal life in terms of our being plugged into a functioning infrastructure. Okay, so here we go. This is entitled, "The Talmud Won't Pardon Donald Trump." Now, again, I want to clarify something here, because over the years I have made it a point to not necessarily downplay the importance of the Talmud, but rather to bring it into proper focus and into proper context in understanding this corrosive force with which all of us are forced to contend. You know, there is this completely erroneous belief out there amongst a lot of people who consider themselves wise to the ways of Judea, that today's Jews don't follow the Torah, meaning the Old Testament, that they follow the Talmud. And I have said, no, that is not true. And the way that they framed their argument, their position on this, is that they say that the Torah is this holy book. It's the Word of God. It's and then they corrupted it. They perverted it. They broke away from it, turned their faces from the Word of God, and then they developed this other book called the Talmud, which is, of course, anybody who has run into any of its teachings, they know it is truly a horrible book. However, folks, the ugly truth of the matter is that the Talmud is just an extension of the Torah. Okay, the Talmud, a little bit of history here. After the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, just as Jesus Christ predicted, not one stone being left upon the other, the Jews were without the central feature of their religious practice, which was the sacrifice, where they would take an animal, an animal that really couldn't defend itself. You know, they wouldn't do it with a lion or a tiger or, a poisonous snake, because that would be dangerous. See, so instead they get, a sheep, which is a very gentle animal, or a calf, and they don't have sharp teeth and things like that. They can't really fight back. And they slit its throat, they collect the blood, they splatter this blood all over the altar, and then they chop this animal up into pieces and they completely incinerate its body, believing that the aroma of this animal being burned, incinerated to nothing, that it's pleasing in the nostrils of Yahweh, their God. And by the way, folks, another interesting thing that I came across recently, those of you who follow the website and the stories that I post, almost all of the stories come right off of what are considered mainstream Israeli websites, whether it's Arutz Sheva or Jerusalem Post, Times of Israel, Haaretz, whatever, because I firmly believe in the importance of primary sources, okay, getting it right from the horse's mouth. And I ran into a very interesting story. Well, anyway, I've noticed, they don't pronounce, or they don't put in their writings the word Yahweh, or just the acronym YHWH. And I found out the reason why they refer to, they change the name of their God from Yahweh to Hashem. Well, Hashem simply means the name. And what the Jews believe is that ever since the temple was destroyed by the Romans, that God has ceased to exist in the world, and therefore they, since that time, since the destruction of the temple and the ceasing of the sacrifice, they can't use that word Yahweh anymore, because God is gone. Their idea of God is gone, and so that's why they call him now. They refer to him as Hashem, okay, simply the name. But that once the temple has been rebuilt, and once they are back in the business of slaughtering defenseless animals and chopping up their bodies and burning them, that they will go back to using the word, the name Yahweh. Very interesting. Anyway, getting back to our discussion of Torah versus Talmud here, ever since the Jews lost the central feature of their daily religious life, which was the sacrifice, it forced them to, they had to recalibrate everything in terms of their the 613 laws of Moses that we've discussed on this program. What I refer to is the 613 lashes. You hear about how horrible the Muslims are, that they're whipped for adultery, the lashes they get. That's what the 613 laws are, folks. That's why the Jews as a people, whatever we want to call them, Jews, Hebrews, Israelites, whatever, this is why they have suffered from the kind of neurosis and psychosis that they have throughout history. Because anybody who lives in an environment like that, where you embrace a way of thinking that says that a person who violates the Sabbath by picking up sticks, I know I use this a lot, folks, but I think it says a lot. I think it tells us just about everything we need to know about the value system of a group of people who have the kind of control over world events that that they do. It says a lot about them. That a person who violates the Sabbath by picking up sticks in order to heat his home or cook his food, that they have to be taken out of town and stoned to death. And it says, stoned to death. So they had to recalibrate how they were going to do things, and this is why the Talmud was written. It was written in order to figure out how they're going to take these 613 laws, the law of Moses, and that they were going to, you know, incorporate these things into what was a completely different life for them now that their temple was destroyed. Okay, so this is important to keep in mind, because you get a lot of these people who just go off half-cocked because it happens to, you know, it happens to be ear candy for them. That that Jews don't follow the Torah, they follow the Talmud. No, they follow both, because the Talmud is just a follow-up commentary to the Torah. Okay. Now, this is very important, folks. It's very important because, you know, ever since this virus hit a year ago, everybody has seen what it looks like. Okay? Everybody knows what it looks like with all these weird little trumpets coming off of it. You know, this spherical thing with all... Okay, you know why everybody has seen it, folks, and knows what it looks like? Because they did the rational thing. When this virus came out, they took it and they put it under a microscope and they studied it intently, studied all of its properties, studied its life cycle, its DNA code, its RNA code, all of these things. They studied it intently. Likewise, when we are dealing with the coronavirus known as Judaism, this corrosive force that has caused and is causing so much destruction and mayhem right now, it absolutely requires a rational, scientific, and methodical study of its properties without letting the emotionalism of religious sentimentality to get in the way. Okay, whatever that is. Well, the Pope said this, and my priest said that, and my pastor says this, and no, the Old Testament is the Word of God, blah, blah, blah. Mm-mm. No, folks, we can't do that. We need to deal with this thing on its terms. And on its terms, just as our unesteemed Jewish writer Douglas Rushkoff stated very, very clearly, it is a dangerous, corrosive force. Okay. Let's see. So anyway, this piece, I'm sorry, we really, really took a long trip off of the beaten path. This piece appearing on the website entitled, "The Talmud Won't Pardon Donald Trump." Okay. Well, you know, they are really, they are not trying to hide it anymore, folks. The last 5 years, you know, I mean, the neocons and certainly the left-leaning Jews in America, they were out front and center with their opposition to him and, you know, blowing their shofars, doing everything they could to try and bring him down. Now, with everything that's going on right now, they're coming out of the woodwork from everywhere, okay, including, you know, on these Israeli sites. Let's see. Now, the thing is with what has been written here by this insane Hebrew writing for the Times of Israel, where he says his very first line in the piece is, "The Talmud understands Donald Trump and it does not like him at all." Okay. Now, folks, we're just going to expand and amplify and extrapolate a little bit here. Okay. If the Talmud understands Donald Trump and does not like him at all, then so does the Torah. The Torah does not like Donald Trump, or understands Donald Trump, and does not like him at all. Why, folks? Why do the Torah and the Talmud understand Donald Trump and not like him at all? Because of what he plans to do in dividing the land. Plain and simple. His plans for bringing to an end all of this war in the Middle East and in basically stopping this corrosive force from completing what it considers to be its Yahweh-ordained role of taking over the entirety of the Middle East and creating this headquarters for their Messiah, who will rule over the nations with a rod of iron, and those that do not bow down to this Messiah and his people will be utterly destroyed. This is not me talking, folks. This is the Jewish Hebrew Israelite prophet Isaiah. Because of President Donald Trump's plans for ending the wars, folks, and for preventing, as we discussed on previous programs, for preventing the rebuilding of the temple, because the Jews intend to get rid of that mosque, that Islamic site, because it is sitting atop the very area where they plan to have their temple. And remember, to them, according to them, the last 2,000 years, God, the creator of the entire universe, has been completely absent from human affairs. And the reason why he has been absent, according to them, from human affairs, is because the sacrifice is no longer taking place, the sacrifice of these defenseless animals. Next piece that I encourage you very strongly to go and read, very, very important piece, folks, and it is simply entitled Pharaoh 2020. And it is written by this insane rabbi. I know I'm repeating myself, but you know we have to make sure, folks, that when we understand, no different than if you come across a dog. Okay, a dog is by its nature a carnivore. It eats meat. Okay, it is absolutely hardwired into his or her DNA. Eats meat, carnivore. Likewise with sheep or deer. Okay, they are herbivores. They will never ever eat meat. That's the nature of the thing. That is its DNA. That is its immutable nature. And when we are talking about those of the Hebraic, Judaic, Israelite persuasion, you are dealing with a group of people who literally have been driven mentally ill over the course of the last 6,000 years of their existence. Some of them crazier than others, but all of them carry that virus in them. That virus of mental illness, that corrosive force of Judaism. And, you know, it's funny, about a week or so ago, this is another thing I jotted down that I wanted to bring up. I watched that old movie from the 80s based on Stephen King's book, Cujo. And the story is about this Saint Bernard. In the very beginning of the movie, he's chasing this rabbit. And the rabbit runs down into its little hole in the ground, and he sticks his snout in there. Well, there are also, it's not just the rabbit's hole, it's also a nest where there are a bunch of bats, and they happen to be rabid. And, or at least one of them is, the one that bites him on the snout. Now, the moment that poor Saint Bernard got bit on the snout, folks, his fate was sealed, okay? And he, because rabies, there is no, you know, it's fatal 100% of the time. And of course, you know, the disease, I actually did a little bit of research. I was amazed to find out that it can take as much as a year for the disease to finally run its course, to the end. It's not something that, you know, they get bit and then, you know, within a day or so, they're frothing at the mouth and all the rest of it. It can be in there for as much as a year. Now, the movie, as it transpires, you know, there's all sorts of backstories going on. There's this woman who's having an affair, and she's trying to break it off, and, you know, there are other townspeople and all the rest of that. But while all of this is going on, while all of this regular living is going on, these backstories, the dog is sinking deeper and deeper into his madness, okay? And nobody knows it until the end, when it's too late. And now what was a well-loved neighborhood dog, Cujo, wouldn't hurt a fly, has become this monster that's unstoppable and just is out. You know, at the end of the movie, this woman and her little boy, they're in their car on the farm where this dog happens to live. And the car stalls. They can't get it to start again. There's nobody around. And they're in the car, and the dog, it literally is ripping the car, this steel car, to pieces to try to get to them inside. Well, this is how I view those who have, unfortunately, they have been afflicted with the rabies of the rabbis, folks, the leaven of the Pharisees, the Judaism. To some degree, they suffer from mental illness, some of them crazier than others, obviously. And this is what makes them so dangerous, as Douglas Rushkoff says. This is what makes them so dangerous, is that sometimes the danger is apparent, and other times it isn't. Sometimes they're like Jerry Seinfeld, and they make us laugh. And you know, sometimes they appear harmless, but to some degree, folks, sadly, tragically, they are carriers of this terribly, terribly infectious, deadly mental disorder known as their Judaism that has corroded their ability to think rationally and to think humanely and morally and all of the rest of that. And that's why we find ourselves in the trouble that we are in today. Now, I know a lot of this is stuff that we're rehashing that we have covered on other programs, but, you know, unfortunately, folks, as far as I know, this kind of material isn't being covered anywhere else, at least not in the manner that, that we cover it here, okay? And I this isn't just my view. I hear this from a lot of people. A lot of readers, a lot of listeners to the program, they say, you know, you simply can't find this kind of discussion anywhere else. And those who do try to carry on a discussion about Judaism, they screw it up in some way. You know, they'll do the Talmud versus Torah thing, and they'll say, oh, no, the Torah, the Old Testament, it's the Word of God. They wind up screwing it up. And you know, and that is why we are in the mess that we're in, folks. You can't have one microbe of this corrosive force in the system. Otherwise, it will, just like the rabies that took over the dog, it will destroy, it will turn the animal into this monster that threatens all life in its environment. And like I said, I realize that we're rehashing a lot of stuff, but my goal for as long as we are able to do this, folks, is to get this conversation started, to get this new consciousness, started, so that whatever comes out of this, whatever the end result of this is, that hopefully intelligent, rational thinking people will finally decide to take this corrosive force and put it under the microscope and say, what is it about this stuff that has caused us so much trouble? And the only way that this can happen is, in my opinion, folks, is to have this discussion as we have it here, where we take it back to the very beginning of the problem. So, folks, I, again, taking a page from our good friend Mike Piper, who always counseled me not to make predictions. I'm going to make a prediction, folks, which is that we are headed for a We are headed for earthquakes. Oh, yeah, yeah, the other story that I wanted to... Yeah, Pharaoh 2020. I'm sorry, I got to do this really quick. You need to read this story, folks, on the website. It's simply called Pharaoh 2020. And what this insane rabbi has done is he's taken this story of Exodus, okay, and Pharaoh and how he persecuted the Hebrews. He didn't trust them. He thought that they were treacherous. And that's true, folks. If you go and you read the Jews' own literature, the Old Testament, and you read the book of Exodus, you will see that what turned Pharaoh against them, against the Israelites, is that he came to understand that they had a treacherous and an untrustworthy nature about them. And what he said specifically is that if we find ourselves at war with another country, they will side up with that other country against us. Okay. So, you know, here we have, in this article, we have this rabbi who's basically taken this story out of the Torah, out of the Old Testament, the story of mean old Pharaoh and how he oppressed the chosen people, and he has appropriated it to this crisis that we're dealing with now with Trump. Now, the reason that this is important, folks, yes, it, of course, it's just another case study in what is, you know, just typical organic Judaic mental illness, but it also serves as a warning of sorts. This is a veiled threat on the part of this rabbi when he's talking about the plagues, okay? There have been several rabbis who have written and have said that all of the troubles that we're dealing with now, that these are like the plagues of Egypt. And I was having a conversation with my very good friend, Paulie from Alaska, just earlier before I did the program. And he said, well, you know, if the economy holds up or whatever, and I said, the economy's not going to hold up, okay? It is not going to hold up. It is already barely alive. And if President Trump goes forward with what I think he plans to go forward with, then the organized forces of anti-Gentilism who own our monetary and financial system whole hog, lock, stock, and barrel, they are going to do exactly what their great-great-great-grandfathers and great-great-great-grandmothers did in the book of Exodus, which is that they're going to, as it appears in the Old Testament, they quote-unquote borrowed all of the gold and silver that they could get from their Egyptian neighbors and friends and then hightailed it out of the country and left Egypt bankrupt. And this is what, this ridiculous article written by this insane rabbi, this is exactly the threat that he is making. He's saying that President Trump is the new Pharaoh. He won't let Yahweh's people go, you know, like Moses, so that they can go to the promised land and all of the rest of that. And as a result of that, we have all of these plagues now bringing America down. There's another very interesting story, which I don't have time to talk about today because we're already over an hour and I want to cut all of you loose so that you can go and have your Sunday to yourself. I haven't posted it yet because I need to put together the commentary for it. This is an op-ed that was written by one of Israel's most powerful rabbis. His name is Shmuel Eliyahu. Very powerful rabbi. And he says in it quite plainly, I think the title of it is, America's Going Down and Israel Needs to Fill That Vacuum. And this is something that we've talked about many times on this program, which is that it is the plans on the part of Judea that after they have finished destroying Rome, their ancient Roman enemies who destroyed their temple and removed God from human affairs and all the rest of that happy nonsense, once Rome has been destroyed, that Israel is going to rise up as the world's lone superpower. Yeah. So here he is saying it in plain Judaic language, folks, is that as America is wiped away, per the plagues, that are befalling America because of one Donald J. Trump, who won't let God's chosen people fulfill their divine destiny in grabbing up all of the Middle East between the Nile and the Euphrates, that once Rome is gone, that it is Israel's job to fill that power vacuum as the next world power. Anyway, folks, that's it for today. Again, I need to underscore this point. We can't do this program without help from the listeners. Okay, it doesn't have to be a fortune. Okay, but it does cost me money every time I post a program. And I, those of you who know me and know my circumstances, I'm a man of extremely limited means and extremely heavy responsibilities, being the father of 10 children, 7 of which are still at home. And so if you gain something, glean something of value from this program, please, folks, pitch in. Send me an email at theuglytruthradioprogram@gmail.com. I will send you the link. And, you know, you can give anything. You can give a dollar. You can give $1 million. I know that's not going to happen, folks. If it does, it's only going to be because we're in a period of hyperinflation. And $1 million, like those days during the Depression, you know, where you had to bring a wheelbarrow full of cash in order to buy a loaf of bread. I'll be a millionaire, absolutely, but we all will be. Anyway, folks, until we meet again, and I certainly hope that we are able to, given, you know, everything that is building right now, you know, the volcano is getting ready to blow. You know, hold tight to hope, some kind of hope. It is going to be, whatever it is, folks, it's going to be bad. And it's going to be bad not on TV, not on some computer screen. It's going to be bad at our front door, okay? And, you know, this is the reason why, you know, for many years, I and people such as Mike Piper and Jonathan Azaziah and a few others were so adamant. We were so adamant about not letting the crazies get hold of the steering wheel with the narrative that it was just too serious, the stakes were too high, and the suffering too great for us to waste even a microsecond of the precious time that we had to get this narrative out. This is why, because what is coming is going to be, it's going to be horrible, folks. Horrible in a very up-close and personal way. But it's not going to last forever, and there are always miracles, folks. And I would remind all of you out there, yes, I am closing it up here. Go back and read the story about what happened to the USS Liberty and the miracles that took place that day. If that torpedo that had been launched by Israel, you know, the engineers who have studied the history of that attack, have said that if that torpedo had just been 12 inches a foot to the left, it would have hit that section of the ship where the boiler was, which was what they were trying to do. They wanted to blow a hole in the side where the boiler was because that was the beating heart of the ship. And if all that cold seawater had rushed in as they had intended, it would have blown the ship up and the ship would have sank. And then the Jews would have had their war between the U.S. and the USSR that would have then opened the door for them doing what they are now trying to do, which is to this creation of greater Israel as the Bible, the Torah, commands. But just hold fast to the possibility of miracles, folks, because they do happen. Anyway, that's it for today, folks. Hope we get to see each other again somewhere midweek. I'm sure that it's going to be a very different world, a very different landscape than the one that we're looking at right now. And, you know, stay safe, stay sharp,